life-transforming messages, anointed ministrations, uplifting praise and worship. Experience God's presence and power at Greater Works 2024. Speakers: Pastor Matthew Achimolowo, Bishop Tudor Bismarck, Bishop Mike Okwonkwo, and host Pastor Mensah Otterbill. Date: Monday 29th July to Friday 2nd August. Morning sessions from Tuesday 30th July to Friday 2nd August. Time: 9 a.m. Evening sessions. Time: 5 p.m. each night. Venue: ICGC Christ Temple East. Special song ministration by Nathaniel Bassey. Also ministering ICGC choirs and worship leaders. Buses will be available at vantage points across the city to bring you to Christ Temple East and back. Visit gwcentral.org and our social media handles for more details. See you there.
And now, today's word.
All right, so let's read the two views that Jesus expressed about the law. First, what he said on the Sermon on the Mount whilst before he died, at the beginning of his ministry, and at the end of his earthly ministry after his resurrection. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Till all is fulfilled. Note that. All right. Then after he resurrected, Luke chapter 24. Now, if you know the story, two of the disciples are walking on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and a third man appears and starts conversing with them, and they ask, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem?" Because the man doesn't is asking what they are talking about. They said, "Well, we're talking about Jesus Christ. We thought he'd be a prophet, and the Jews took him and they crucified him. But this morning we just heard some of the ladies say that he's alive, and Peter too said he's alive. We're not too sure whether he's alive or not." And these people are just having this conversation, and they go home, and when they arrive at their home, the third man who is with them is passing on. They said, no, stay with us because it's late, and let's eat, let's take good care of you." So they stay with this third person, and pretty soon, through communion, they realize that this person is Jesus. And then Jesus says something to them. In that's what we're reading, Luke chapter 24, verse 44. "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.'" Now, Jesus is saying that the law and the prophets and the Psalms were all written about him. So when you read the law, most of the things you see in the law is about Jesus. When the prophets spoke, it's about Jesus. When you read the Psalms, it's about Jesus. And he said, "These things that were spoken must be fulfilled." Now, in these two passages, we find Jesus' own statements about the law. And there are two main things Jesus says about the law. First, he says he did not come to destroy it. The law was there before he came. He says, "I did not come to destroy it." Very important. That word destroy means three things. It means to disregard it. It means to dishonor it. It means to demolish it. I did not come to disrespect the law or disregard the law. I didn't come to dishonor the law. I didn't come to demolish it. Now, the reason Jesus had to say that is because a lot of things he was saying and doing made it appear as if he disregarded the law. So, I mean, he was healing on the Sabbath and doing things a little bit differently. And the people thought, what is he doing? Is he coming to destroy the law? Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy the law. I don't come to disregard it. I don't come to dishonor it. I don't come to demolish it. But that's not all he said. He used a very important word about what he had come to do. He said he had come to fulfill the law. To fulfill it. Both in Matthew and Luke. He says, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law, till all is fulfilled. To all, not part of the law, but all of it is fulfilled. Then in Luke, he says, these are the words I spoke to you whilst I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So Jesus came to fulfill the law. Not to destroy it, but to fulfill it. Not to establish it. He said, I didn't come to destroy it, but neither did I come to establish it. I came to fulfill it. I came to fulfill the law. Now, what does it mean to fulfill something? Let's say that I give you a check for 1,000 cedis. That check has your name on it. It has an amount on it. It's legitimate bank. Then there is money equivalent to amount written on the check for you. But that check still is not the money. You know that. What is the check? It is a promise. It is a promise that when you present it, you would get the amount. Now, when you take the check to a bank, the check will be taken from you. How many of you have had that happen? You say, that's my check. They take it from you. The banks take the check from you. Because the check is a promise. And then in the place of the check, they give you money. Now, what has happened? The check has been fulfilled. Why has it been fulfilled? It has now come to the full purpose for which it was released to you. It wasn't released to you for you to hold on to it. It was released to you so that you would have money. So when you present your check and you receive the money, the check has not been established. The check has been fulfilled. Now Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy the law. I didn't come to tear the check into pieces. I didn't come to throw the check away. I didn't come to put it in a gutter or disregard it. I came so that the check will be fulfilled. What is the check? The check is the law. I came so that the law will have the reality of what it is promising. That is what he came to do. So, in three ways, when Jesus says, I came to fulfill the law, it means to live it out rightly. I came to live it out rightly. Secondly, it meant to satisfy its demands. Whatever the law is asking for, I have come to satisfy it. And thirdly, to complete its purpose. Whatever the law was promising, I have come to complete the purpose of it. So Jesus says, I didn't come to throw away the law. I didn't come to disregard the law. I didn't come to destroy it. And he says, until the law is fulfilled, not one word in it will be cast away. Everything on it will be fulfilled. But how many of you know that after the check has been fulfilled, you don't need a check again? You may want to keep it for your records, that there was a time you used to have a check, but it's of no value again. Now, you can't present it again for more money. I wish you could. I wish when they give you a check and you cash the money, you collect your check back and come next week and present it again and collect more money. That would be a great world. But that's not how it happens. The moment the check is fulfilled, it is of no effect. It has lost its power. It contains nothing. It can do nothing because it has been fulfilled. So Jesus says, I came to fulfill the law. That means the day Jesus fulfills the law is of no effect. The check has been cashed. The law has been fulfilled. That's very important because, you know, there are a lot of Christians who are living by grace and living by the law at the same time. They have cashed the money and they are still holding the check. They have the reality, but they also have the check. Although the check has nothing in it, they're still holding it and they're still trying to read it. But the law is of no effect after Jesus came to fulfill it. So Jesus' mission was to come and fulfill what Moses started. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfilled all the law. He fulfilled the moral code by living a perfect life. He fulfilled the ceremonial code by becoming the sacrifice when he offered his own body to be sacrificed. And he fulfilled the social code by giving us a new way of living. So, but for the moral, for the ceremonial, and for the civic, Jesus fulfilled all. And in him, the law was completely fulfilled. And this is how Romans chapter 10, verse 4 puts it. And I like it very much. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. In Christ, the law ends. Now, normally when you say that, people say, so how are we supposed to live our lives? People say, well, if the law is taken away, then what are we living by? Well, I'll deal with that next week, but just to ease your mind during the week. Just to help you. When Jesus said in Matthew that I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, then he says, you know, he makes a few statements, you know, nothing of this, the law will pass away. And then he started redefining the law and setting his own rules. He said, for example, it has been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Where is that found? Where is thou shalt not commit adultery found? In the law. Now, when Jesus fulfills the law, it doesn't mean go and commit adultery. He said, well, now the law has been fulfilled. So thou shalt not commit adultery has been taken away. Jesus said, no, no, no. It has been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Where? Where? But I say. Now he's establishing the new rule. He says, the law says don't commit adultery. I say, and the grace, he who looks at a woman. Now, all of you who thought you were free, now Jesus is saying we are going higher. Under grace, he who looks at a woman or a man to lust after her has already. Now, when you read that, you say, Jesus, then why did you mess up with the law? Just keep the law where it is. So, Jesus did not take away the law to leave nothing. Jesus took away the law to establish a better system. Because the law focused on what you did outside you. Grace focuses on what you do inside you. Grace deals with sin before it manifests. The law deals with sin after it manifests. Jesus says, under my system, you don't even have to think it. Moses says, if you do it and you are caught, you are stoned. In the Christ system, you don't think it. So you'll not be stoned. The reason you'll not be stoned, because you won't think it. Because if you think it, you've done it. You say, but I haven't done anything. According to Jesus, you've done it. So that's harder. Yes, that's why you need grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and reality and truth came through Jesus Christ. So, you know, in the Bible, there is the law, the law of spirit and, of death, but there is also the law of Christ. The law of Christ is called the law of spirit and life. The law of Christ is higher than the law of Moses. It's higher. So being under grace does not mean that a person can do whatever they want, because Jesus has set a new rule. He took away the old and established the new. All right. So let's talk about grace a little bit, because that is what this teaching is all about, grace. So what is grace? I'll give you three definitions. Number one, grace is God's undeserved goodwill toward us. This is God's generosity, God's kindness manifested to us.